Hello and welcome to the Celestine Show. Here we explore news you can use, self-help topics, and entertainment. I'm your host, Dr. Celestine, and I hope you're having an amazing day out there. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. From the bottom of my heart, I certainly appreciate it. Now, our special guest for today is certainly a legend in his own right, none other than the infamous B.J. Daniels, Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl champion, and he also happens to be a champion for mental health. B.J.'s life is a remarkable journey through the world of football. He rose to prominence as a star quarterback for the University of South Florida and went on to play professionally in the NFL. While his story is filled with thrilling highs, it also happens to include the challenging lows that come with competing at the highest level. Having faced mental health struggles both personally and amongst his teammates, BJ has found a very new mission here in advocating for mental health awareness. His experiences have given him unique insights into the importance of mental well-being, and overcoming adversity. Today, BJ Daniels is going to share his powerful story, and he'll discuss how he turned his challenges into a source of strength and purpose. Please welcome and join me, especially in welcoming BJ Daniels.
Thank you for having me. It's a blessing to be here.
Yes. I really appreciate your taking the time. I understand you're at training camp in North Carolina, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. enjoying the day, I'm sure. So we really, really do appreciate that. I wanted to kind of take you back a little bit as we begin here on this journey today. Want to talk about a little bit about your childhood to start with, to ask you, you know, BJ, when did you kind of realize that you were developing a passion for football?
Yeah, so I grew up in a very athletic family. My father played in college basketball. My uncle played college basketball. The first basketball I've ever had in my hands, I probably was like 5 years old. But as a kid, I always was very competitive. When I really figured out that football was my actual sport, was not even really until I got to college. I played football and basketball in college, but growing up, I played football, basketball, baseball, track, and I always had a very competitive nature about myself. And one story I always remember was, just playing catch in the backyard, with the football with my dad, and I would fall over the fence, and he would get really upset at me because I would never throw it to him. I always try to throw it further than he was standing, and competitive nature started from there. I fell in love with the game, and it was just something that I've continued to use as a tool to continue to elevate and move around in life and just share my experiences with the world.
So did anyone at that time play a particular role in mentoring you and kind of helping you find your way as a professional athlete, even in those formative years? There are always people, I think, that we look to. Who are some of those people for you?
Yeah, my dad played college basketball, so I always wanted to be competitive and be like him. Having the opportunity to watch my uncle play college basketball at Auburn University with Charles Barkley, he was a starting point there, and also have the opportunity to, have a shot in the NBA. Those people in my close proximity were people I actually watched, admired, respected. So there were people outside that I watched on TV that I wanted to be like, and I tried to emulate my game after, such as Michael Vick. Of course, I was very athletic, but because that's kind of how I play my game as well, as an athletic, figure. But I had role models and people that were in close proximity that, for family barbecues or 4th of July's or Christmas, type of holidays, I still had the opportunity to share moments with people that I aspire to be like, who share my last name as well.
What about your journey from playing football at the University of South Florida to actually making it to the NFL? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So from Tallahassee, Florida, originally, I grew up watching Florida. I grew up wanting to be like Charlie Ward, who was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. I grew up on that campus. My dad actually was a dorm director. So until I was old, I grew up in a dorm room. I grew up watching Brooks. You know, I wanted to be like those guys and play at Florida State one day, but you know, God had things there aligned for me differently, and the stars kind of led me to South Florida to play at USF in Tampa. You know, from there, I was a 4-year starting quarterback there. My senior year, I broke my ankle, so I did not even think I would have the opportunity to make it professionally. But by the grace of God, that opportunity still came, and I spent 7 years in the NFL. You know, with that and 3 Super Bowl appearances, so it's really been an amazing journey. I've been so thankful and blessed to be to have these opportunities, and now have the opportunity now with the Carolina Panthers to share that, you know, with these young men that are here now.
Yeah, I know that must be so exciting for you. What do you think about that? You know, even being able to go back to USF, where you know you were definitely the superstar around here, and we are, you know, we're here in Tampa, and so we hear your name everywhere, and you are definitely the legend here for sure. You know, how is it in terms of being able to come and give back? You know, to some of the players, to some of the young people. Tell me about, you know, that need and purpose in your life to kind of give back to others and share who you are in that process that may help someone else.
Yeah, I mean, I've completely found so much value in giving to others. You know, we talk about some of the things that we've already shared and discussed, and how you introduced me was Super Bowl winning, you know, quarterback and all these accolades and things I've accomplished and things X, Y, and Z, right? But I tell people all the time, you don't know how much it costs me. It costs me a lot to make it to this point and this level. You know, I always talk about, you know, things that I've struggled with, things that I've faced. You know, my grandmother, you know, passed away when I was in the NFL, and that was a struggle for me. My little sister had cancer, you know, at the age of 22, and at 23, she's 100% cured. So praise God for that. You know,
Yay.
held down at gunpoint, you know, in college as a sophomore, as I think I'm the man on campus. Break my ankle right before I get the opportunity to make the NFL as a 6-year-old to 23-year-old. I'm thinking all my dreams are crushed, because it's something I wanted to accomplish. And right before I get to that doorstep, you know, I'm thinking that it won't happen. You know, so I talk about all those things and experiences, and I think that where I am even today, you know, 4 years ago, I was washing uniforms in the basement of a high school as a head coach, you know, on a Friday night at 1 o'clock in the morning after a Friday night game. You know, so I talk about all those things into where I am now. The journey is never really like this. It's always up and down, but I'm just always focused on continuing to figure out what my next move is, what's my next step. And at this point, you know, I've learned that the more and more I give to someone else, and more I feed, you know, someone else's spirit and soul, and be vulnerable enough to share my experiences, God has continued to elevate my platform. And I always talk about this. You know, my favorite quote of all time comes from Tony Dungy, you know, successful African American coach. Who says, don't worry about your platform, but be very intentional about your impact. And that has helped me transition in life and continue to grow, regardless of any type of accolade. How much I can give and feed someone else has really put me in a position where my platform is elevated, but I have to continue to remember that each platform that I'm on is to serve and help and give and provide and be vulnerable enough to help someone else.
Yeah, I think, you know, really, BJ, that's what it's about, you know, really finding your purpose. And a lot of times that's real sign to me of growth, you know, that you actually realize it's not, hey, it's not all about us, right? It's about others and service to others and helping them. So you talked about some of those lows, and we'll touch on some of that in a moment because you surely unpacked a lot there with, you know, your sister and your grandmother, those stories, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that. But those are some of the lows. What about some of the highs in your football career? What are some of your most memorable moments?
What's so funny is, you know, God has put me in a position where things have come in cycles. So if I didn't get the lesson the first time, I get an opportunity. Thankful to get it. So right now I'm currently sitting in one of the owner's suites in Bank of America Stadium where the Carolina Panthers play. One of my highest moments was after I was held down at gunpoint as a sophomore in college. You know, that's when I kind of realized that I have to make sure I pay honor to our maker, the person that's giving me the ability to play the game that I love. And in this very same stadium, we played against Clemson, and Clemson is a very highly touted, great football team and university. And as the University of South Florida, as an up and coming university, we're only 26 years old as far as a football program is consistent. But we played against Clemson, and we beat Clemson. And I was able to be in this same stadium as the MVP, most valuable player of a bowl game that we played. At the end of that game, I remember standing on stage in this very same stadium that I'm sitting in now, just talking about how thankful I am for this opportunity and how God has blessed me. And, that's one of the moments for me. And I'm just so, it's crazy for me to even be here now. That's one of my highs. I mean, as a freshman in high school, college, excuse me, we beat Florida State. I grew up on Florida State's campus. I wanted to be a Florida State Seminole, and that opportunity didn't come happen that way. But I ended up coming back to Tallahassee as a freshman in 2009, playing against Florida State and winning. So that was also an amazing experience for me. Super Bowls were nice. I met President Obama. That was amazing as well. But the thing internal that my family really can touch and we're a part of, those moments mean more than me to anything else. And my family was present for not only the North Carolina MVP, but also for the Florida State football game as well.
I want to take a quick break, BJ. I think one of the things that I would like to touch on when we come back is we want to get into the book that you've written recently and what prompted you to write the book. And so when we come back, we're going to share and talk a little bit about that. We'll be back right after this.
Looking to amplify your brand's voice? Look no further than Bishop Stein and Associates, your premier PR powerhouse. From targeted advertising to innovative marketing solutions, we're here to elevate your brand. But wait, there's more. Are you a strong speaker? Join our exclusive speakers bureau and share your expertise with the world, or book our top-tier talent for your event. Whether you're launching a product, rebranding, or seeking expert speakers, Bishop Stein and Associates delivers results. Transform your brand today. Visit us at bsaprinc.com and discover how we can amplify your success today. Bishop Stein and Associates, your strategic move.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Celeste Stein Show. I'm your host, Dr. Celeste Stein. And today we have with us BJ Daniels, Super Bowl champion and definitely an advocate for mental health. And that's what we want to touch on next. I want to ask you, at what point, BJ, did you start to notice that you might have some mental health struggles? Not only amongst yourself, but your teammates as well, because I think that's a thing a lot of people don't talk about. They want to talk about the success and the highs, but often we don't hear of the lows. So I appreciate your willingness to come on and share about that.
I think, for me, the locker room is kind of like a family environment, right? You have so many different players from different backgrounds, situations, cities, states, even countries, sometimes. And at the end of the day, we kind of all come in this locker room and love on each other, and we call it each other brothers and things like that. But I think the camaraderie and what we find in that is that we all have struggled. We all have been through something. We all have continued to press forward. In the game of football, there's two different types. Are you injured or are you hurt? Are you, is it a boo-boo? Wipe it off. Can you move it? Can you spit on it and just keep moving forward? And the thing about that is that's how we prove our toughness. That's how we continue to be successful. But that's on the football field. I think the thing that most men, especially in the athletic world, struggle with is we transition that into life. You can't always do that. If your mother, if you've experienced some hardships or you grew up a particular type of way, there are things that will affect you, and you just can't spit on it. You just can't keep moving. You can't move on to the next play and have the next play mentality or the next game. There are things that happen, and I think a lot of athletes, kind of shove those feelings and emotions because we're taught to be so Goliath. And at the end of the day, I think it's very valuable and important to not only talk about certain things, not only to share certain things, but it helps every person grow. I cried, in writing my book, I cried about something that happened 10 years ago, like 2 months ago. And it's just so amazing that that was therapy for me. That was therapeutic. It wasn't just me moving forward or staying busy or going to fill my schedule or going to work out or, stress it out. It was really to release it and let it go. And there's things that happen, with these in this athletic world that I think are not normal. And I think that it's very important to continue to express your feelings and emotions, to release those things, to continue to grow, because that's the only way you're going to heal. I think that's the only way you're going to be better. Unfortunately, there are people that I've had that have shelved and bottled up so many different things that they didn't feel like they had an outlet. I've had teammates who committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I've had have certain addictions, and they railroad themselves into running into a wall because they didn't ask for help. They did not know how to get help. They continue to just, like I said, just next play mentality, move forward, sweep it under the rug. And I think that's something that in the game of football or even the game of athletics, it's valuable to have those principles in the game. But a lot of those things don't transition into life. And I want to make sure that with my book, I'm able to really just share my experiences in hopes that someone else would maybe feel a little more comfortable to speak their truth. To be vulnerable, to be honest with themselves, which is the most important thing, because even in the locker room that I'm in now, I'm seeing these young men think that they have to have a certain type of persona to be successful, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a minute ago that you actually cried about something. Do you care to share what that was about? Was that related to something caused under your mental health challenges? I mean, what was it that touched you in that way?
Absolutely. So in 2017, both my grandmother and my little sister were both diagnosed with cancer at the same time. My grandmother's in the hospital battling cancer, and we kind of are looking at the situation as she may not make it at this point. With my little sister, who was 22 years old at the time, she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. And I'm getting ready to, I'm a free agent, so I'm not with any NFL team at all. But I'm working hard. I'm still trying to keep the dream alive and be prepared. And I was invited to the Chicago Bears to work out for their football team to try to make the football team. So at 9 a.m. in the morning, I'm getting ready to get ready for my workout to prove to the Chicago Bears that I deserve an opportunity to make their team. And basically, essentially, it was my interview for my job. Right before that 9 a.m. workout, I got a call around 7:30 a.m. from my mother. And, God bless her soul, Rhonda Daniels. She called me and said, "Hey, just want to let you know your little sister went to the doctor. We got some results. Mm-hmm. She died of cancer." That broke me into a very state of, here I am with no job, trying to make a team. I'm getting ready to Chicago. I'm by myself. I'm trying to prove to these, this organization that I deserve this opportunity. But my grandmother's in cancer and my little sister was just diagnosed. So then I have to go into this workout and really just find a way to not necessarily put it in a perspective of just about me. It was like, okay, well, what can I do to make this football team? And then in turn, once I make this team, my financials are now going to go into helping my little sister or my grandmother which in that moment, copay was an issue. My grandmother and her family couldn't afford copay. So that's the thing. It wasn't even to heal my grandmother. It was to make sure we could find out what was wrong with my grandmother. So you have that on my mind, on top of just the treatments that my little sister was now about to go through. So there were so many things that hit me at once, the financial aspect of it, the healing aspect of it, what's going to happen with my grandmother, only time will tell, my little sister, okay, now I don't understand what Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer is, what does that look like, is it curable, so all those things were running through my mind as I'm running sprints, I'm trying to catch a football, I'm trying to prove to this organization I deserve to be there, I hadn't had a job. I've played on these NFL, but I was looking to make another one. So just speaking on those things and reflecting on that was a time in my life where it was hard. And I cried because I looked at where I am now. My little sister's healed. I believe that God took my little
Yes.
my grandmother to heaven, and here I am with another opportunity to be back in the NFL. So just the reflecting on all of that, you know, God was still there and still protected us as a family, still carried us through. And that was just something I was just so thankful. So the tears were actually more so joy than sadness, but it definitely was something I felt like talking about allowed me to release.
Right. And they say there's, you know, no testimony, as they say, without a test. And there are always going to be those tests and trials. I think in my own life, you know, I worked for many years, you know, for ABC as a news reporter. And like, you know, you have to go on the air sometimes and, you know, smile and do your thing. But people don't know some of the things that you might even be dealing with behind the scenes. You know, I dealt with, you know, my father had several issues with pulmonary embolism and then died eventually from a stroke. And my mother was actually a cancer, colon cancer survivor. She had, you know, dealt with that for many years, but, you know, in and out of the hospital. And so I very much know what you're talking about from a firsthand perspective. But sometimes, you know, people never would even suspect that you're going through something so traumatic behind the scenes. But that's part of life as I see it now. You know, these are things that we deal with. But, you know, when there are struggles, you have to think about, you know, your sanity, your mental health. And so what would you say to other people who kind of want to sweep when they're not feeling so high on the highs anymore? What would you say to them in terms of, you know, how to deal with it? You know, how did you deal with it?
Yeah, I think I really relied on my family. I'm so thankful and blessed to have my family. My mother and father are still married and together. I have two little sisters, Laurel and Alina Daniels, and they love me dearly. You know, I'm their biggest fan, and vice versa. You know, and I really have, you know, loved how they supported me through so many different things. Obviously, my religion is very much so important to me. You know, as a Christian young man that is still growing, I hope that I can continue to lean on God and he continues to give me answers. You know, obviously, it's not always when you want them, when you want it, but you'll get it. And I hold that near and dear to me as far as my faith, and believing that too shall these things too shall pass and things will come when you're ready. And I kind of look at most of my issues or things I've dealt with as preparation. You know, it's chinks in my armor, but it's helping me grow. You know, I'm getting thicker skin and I'm learning how to deal with things and move forward. And, you know, even just me being vulnerable, I'm realizing how strong it takes to be that, you know, and it's in our community as African-American man looks at it as a weakness. You know, so I'm just so thankful and blessed that I've had people, coaches, I've had teachers, I've had really good friends, who've continued to help me. The more and more I'm learning that I'm willing to talk and help talk to people and be vulnerable, I'm getting a lot of feedback. You know, so the opportunity is helping me kind of unpack some things and, you know, release things on a daily basis. And one thing I will say, I've started in 2013, I started to write in the journal. I always looked at it, you know, a little cute thing that girls do in the pink notebook and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it really became something for me where I'm able to be honest. I'm able to be open. I'm able to write things down and release things in my mind and no judgment. And it's really helped me from a day-to-day process to kind of just compartmentalize things and figure out where do I stand in my own life? What do I need to fix? What do I need to change? And going back and reading those things and actually giving myself grace to the point where, okay, well, I'm not where I used to be and I'm still moving forward. So, you know, just little things like that have really, like, you know, really helped me.
Yeah. So, you know, I think you're right in writing some of that stuff down. Sometimes it really helps you to release some of that stuff you may be holding in. And I know that you've written a book. So I don't think it's out yet. Isn't it coming out soon? Or, you know, I want to talk about that and find out, you know, at what point did you decide to actually put some of your journaling into writing a book and becoming this mental health advocate?
Absolutely. So it's a funny story. I actually was in Tampa, downtown. I was at a restaurant, and this gentleman approached me named Adam Shaw, who's over a company called Trigger Hub. And we kind of talked. He's a publishing company about mental health, and we were just talking. And for our conversation continued to flow and elevate. And at this point, my book now is basically about my journey. It comes out October 1st. It's called Beyond the Red Zone. So it's a tie into football as well. So in football, on the football field, there's the red zone, and that's the area from the 20-yard line in before you score a touchdown. And in that area, things get kind of tight. The defense, the field is shorter. It's the high pressure, part of the field. So things have to be very precise on offense and defense. And that's when things get really hard before you make it to wherever you're trying to make it, which is the ultimate goal, which is a touchdown. And I talk about everything that I've experienced, the places I've been, things I've accomplished, but also in moments where I'm sharing what my mental thought and process was through these moments. Because like I said before, I've accomplished a lot. I've scored many touchdowns, but you don't know how much it cost me. You don't know what I went through to get to these points and these moments in life. And I wanted enough to share that with people and kind of let them know, it's okay to be honest with yourself. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to feel like you're not, ready for certain things or to not make it or to fail in this area. But you have to continue to press forward. You have to continue to go to the next play. If you don't score on this touchdown in this area, there's still opportunities out there for you to continue to be successful. And for me, in the last 4 years, I can't tell you that I was going to be the greatest high school coach in America and win 10 state championships, but that's what I was in 2020. And then 2021, I was quarterback coach at USF. I couldn't tell you I was going to be the next, Heisman Trophy winning coach and have the best quarterback in the country because God transitioned me again to raising money, fundraising. And I couldn't tell you I raised all the money in the world for Tampa and USF and this beautiful $340 million football stadium we're going to build. But then now
Wow.
for the Carolina Panthers. So you have to continue to move. You got to continue to press forward. Things not always might always shape out the way you want them to. 2019 was probably one of my darkest moments pre-COVID, trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. Retire from football. I walked 4 miles to a job. I was trying to figure out if I had the same motivation and passion to that I did to run sprints and push sleds and do all those things. But can I take life as serious as I took the game of sport? So, I have a lot of those moments and things that I share within the book. And I just, like I said, I just hope I'm vulnerable and honest enough with someone else that they'll read it and look at their own life and understand, just keep moving, just keep pressing forward. Everything doesn't work out the way you want it to, but you have to continue to transition and lean on the people that love you the most. And a lot of times I think we deal with the facade of life instead of just dealing with, the people who are there consistent, who love you and who want to see you be successful.
So tell me, I know sometimes you can get really high on the highs, and equally low on the lows. What kind of has been your journey in terms of coping with things as they come? You've definitely dealt with some very traumatic things in your life, but sometimes at the same time you can be really, really high on whatever is going well. So how, kind of what happens in that process, as far as you're going well, you're winning a Super Bowl, but then you find, okay, I'm dropped or I can't play anymore. I mean, what, what is happening there in your mind, in terms of how you process that and how you deal with that? Can you share a little bit about that?
With your question, it kind of puts me back to 2019, for example. 2018, 2017, I'm with the Atlanta Falcons. We go to our third Super Bowl. I went two with Seattle and one with Atlanta. So my third Super Bowl. And 2018, I'm trying to make the team again. It's a new year. From there, I got injured. I had sports hernia surgery. My girlfriend broke up with me. I'm trying to move another, living space. as well with her, and that doesn't work out. I don't have a job, and I'm living in Atlanta, don't know anyone. So having to take those moments and then actually, just figure out what life looks like for me and move back home, and go around my support system and kind of just revert back to who I am as a person. Where my foundation started within the church and with family, the things that mattered the most to me, the people that I know wouldn't judge me or, hold me accountable to things that are so unnecessary, as far as what life consists of. And, it was a hard time for me. But I love sharing those things because, where I am today, allows me to put myself in a vulnerable state, not because I'm wearing this Carolina Panthers shirt and I'm sitting in the owner's suite at this Bank of America stadium. No, it's because I remember where I was. And I know that even talking to you, hopefully whoever's listening, they can remember where they were and revert back to the reflective stage. And that's where I'm at right now currently. So I moved
Right.
into my reflective stage where I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I'm so happy to just be in this moment and opportunity. And I can't take it for granted. When I played in the NFL, and while you're being busy and I'm hanging out with Marshawn Lynch and I'm hanging out with Drake and I'm, with Russell Wilson and Sierra and meeting President Obama, all those things, God was trying to show me something then and I didn't get it. I was just moving so fast. I'm so thankful to be back in this now, because I'm taking every moment as precious as I can. My interactions with these, my interactions with staff, employees, the people I see in the community, I don't take it for granted. I don't take it for granted anymore. And I'm so thankful that God has given it back to me because I didn't learn it the first time. A lot of people don't get it. So I'm not going to mess it up. Not this time.
Yeah, I've had that happen. Like sometimes people think that you achieve success overnight, but they're not there when you're staying up till, 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes. Like, when I was working on my PhD, writing a research paper and then turning around in 2 hours and having to get ready for work. I mean, nobody sees that part, what I'm saying? And a lot of times they just think you have it easy or everything is hunky dory, but you've got things going on and you're doing the work. That's a big part that's missing. I think, didn't Kevin Hart say, everybody wants to be on top, but nobody wants to do the work. And that's key. But I think, when you're a man or a woman of faith and you're learning in process, because we're none of us is a finished product. You often will, God will allow you the grace of being able to repeat your mistakes, right? If you don't get it that first time, you might have to kind of get knocked down a time or two, and then you can, turn things around. I want to continue. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about your advocacy work and efforts in the mental health space. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Looking to amplify your brand's voice? Look no further than Bishop Stein and Associates, your premier PR powerhouse. From targeted advertising to innovative marketing solutions, we're here to elevate your brand. But wait, there's more. Are you a strong speaker? Join our exclusive speakers bureau and share your expertise with the world, or book our top-tier talent for your event. Whether you're launching a product, rebranding, or seeking expert speakers, Bishop Stein and Associates delivers results. Transform your brand today. Visit us at bsaprinc.com and discover how we can amplify your success today. Bishop Stein and Associates, your strategic move.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Celeste Stein Show. I am your host, Dr. Celeste Stein, and we are delighted to be hearing from BJ Daniels, Super Bowl champion, that is with us today. And BJ, I wanted to continue talking about your mental health journey and wanted to ask if you've ever had a particularly impactful story or moment from your advocacy work in sharing with someone else. Because sometimes we can think that what we're doing is not making a difference, but you will have that person that comes up to you after you speak or something like that. And I think people are a lot more inclined to open up once they hear, hey, well, nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe this past spring in April, I had the opportunity to speak at USF. And there's this show that was put on in our auditorium called This Is My Brave. And it's basically you have opportunities to talk about mental health. And there was this stage that I shared with probably about 10 to 15 people who shared their own stories that they struggle with about mental health. Things that they've experienced as in childhood or as an adult. And it was amazing to have these men and women share their own personal stories in front of about 300 to 400 people. I started off the show, as the host, and I kind of introduced each individual, and I shared a brief, excerpt of my story. But at the end of it was really cool to see people who admired me. From a professional football perspective, but it was really cool to see them actually come up to me after the show and share that they didn't think that someone in the NFL or someone who has been successful has gone through some of the things that are very similar to them. That motivated me and helped me know that I'm actually in the right space. I'm in the right calling. Because for example, I don't practice, I don't rehearse. Any type of speech that I have or any speaking engagement when it comes to speaking about mental health and motivating and helping others. I feel like God has just allowed me, just like my athletic ability, he's just given it to me. And I feel like I'm able to flourish in those moments because I'm being honest. I'm being real. And people can tell when you're not being real. And
Absolutely.
those are moments where I'm just in my natural habitat and environment. What's funny that I never wanted to be the kid in front of everybody talking. I didn't want to read out loud in class. And here I am speaking in front of auditorium people about mental health and my story and my struggles. And it's just really refreshing, I guess it was, to those people in that auditorium who came up to me afterwards to acknowledge the fact that they thought my life could have been perfect. And I'm nowhere near at all. And I think it helps them feel like they're in a safe space to realize that, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to have fear. It's okay to struggle with things, not understand, what your next moves are and dealing with failures in life and just things that hurt or hit in ways that are hard. And I was just thankful that they were even bold enough to come to me. And acknowledge and say those things because it made them feel better about their own situations.
So, I guess you're doing a lot of public speaking, but I wanted to know particularly how maybe some of your teammates, fellow athletes, and friends have actually responded to your advocacy efforts. What kind of feedback do you get from them?
I'm here in Carolina. About a week ago, I had the opportunity to speak to the entire football team. Dave Canales is the head coach. He was my former coach when I played with the Seattle Seahawks, but he asked me to speak to the team because he has kind of followed me a little bit on social media and the things I've been doing. And to have the opportunity to speak to the team and talk about, some of the things we've discussed already, it was really cool to see, these young men, and I call them young men now because I was in their shoes at 23, 24, and 25 and six, and I've been in their shoes. So it was the first time actually in my life I've had the opportunity to speak to a room full of professional football players. And they related to me on a level that was amazing because of the things I went through, they're in. And it was just really cool to have those young men acknowledge after I spoke as well, the things that they're facing and struggling with now, trying to make a football team or, trying to be the next guy to not get cut or they're at the tail end of their career. They're trying to figure out if they're still valuable or not. Or they're a rookie just trying to, their nose is wide open. They don't know what's happening. They're just happy to be here, So, it was really cool and powerful and impactful. And I think that, that's where I kind of will add value, to this organization. And I'm just, like I said, I keep saying I'm so thrilled and happy and excited to be here. And it's been a blessing, to even, wear this t-shirt and be, part of this team.
So, what are some of the common misconceptions about mental health that you aim to address through your advocacy?
I think that everyone deals with it. I think, people are like, no, I'm good. And no, mental health doesn't mean it's something negative. There's positive, there's healthy mental health as well. Part of that is, like I said before, the healthy part of my mental health is writing things down in my book, to let things go. To I have chapter on chapter and page on page of just me sitting at home at night, when everything's quiet, and just releasing things. I think that when people bring up mental health, they think there's a negative stigma to, oh, there's something wrong with you. And that's not true either. And I think also, the stereotype of speaking about mental health comes off as, okay, there's either something wrong or you're also soft. And I don't respect either because that's not true. So I think those misconceptions are things that it keeps people bottled up, especially when you think you're the only person that's experiencing this or the only person that's going through something like this. Those things really just shelter you. And in my personal opinion, that's when the devil does his most work, when he can isolate you, keep and make you feel like you're by yourself and it's just you and no one's here to help. And those things are coming from a space that a God does not want us to operate in. And I think that part of the mental health journey that I've had, my faith and my religion has really put me in a space to be bold enough to use my calling to really speak up and to really help and heal. Because I'm not only healing myself, but I'm healing others. And that's very important. And I think those misconceptions are things that I think people kind of get misconstrued.
Right. Isn't it amazing, too, when you actually share some of these things with people? To me, I know when I do that, I'm amazed at the stories I hear back. I was like, really? Or they've gone through the same thing you've gone through. So, like you said, it's really good not to isolate yourself if you are going through something, to, certainly talk to others and, talk about whatever it is that might really be getting at you, because sometimes some of the things can be really, really serious, especially if you're dealing with family members with serious health issues and things like that. If you're a caretaker or in the position of having to help financially and those type of things, it's very, stressful on the whole family, and very traumatic. So I definitely applaud you for all the stuff that I know you went through and did for your family, because it's hard feeling that pressure, but you definitely stepped up to the plate and thankfully are seeing positive things out of that have come out of that. I wanted to ask you what particular strategies or practices that you may have found to be particularly effective in overcoming adversity, both on and off the field.
I think just getting back for me, just getting back to my grassroots. I wake up in the morning early now. I didn't like to do it when I was younger, but what resets me is really just, waking up, with enough time to listen to, T.D. Jakes or Darius Daniels or Pastor Keon. I like to listen to things that will put me in the right mindset and give me the right stance and presence with things that may come throughout the rest of the day. That's something I love to do. I enjoy working out. I do that in the morning as well. That's the time where I get to work out and listen to certain things, and it really puts me in a vulnerable state early in the morning to set me up for the rest of the day. And I enjoy playing basketball. That's another way for me to release my competitive nature and spirit as well, because I will no longer run on the football field. But with those things and just writing my journal, talking to my parents, and at the end of the day, what's so crazy to me now is I really, really try to find ways, and I pray about this every day, how can I help serve and feed somebody else? And that actually really helps me when I go out every day with intentions on affecting or influencing somebody. And I think that's, very valuable and important to me because it puts me, in the right space. Not what can I get, but how can I give?
Do you find that there are, I guess, direct correlations that relate a lot to the sports world, but also can apply in terms of the lessons that you've learned that can apply, in terms of your resilience and perseverance to the everyday person that might want to pick up your book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the things that the game of football has taught me, being on time, being accountable, being honest with yourself, being a good teammate, knowing how to talk to the guy that's the starter on the football team versus the guy that is probably the last man on the roster. Those are things that all transitions into life for me. With my job, formerly, working at USF and raising money for athletics, how I show up is important. How I dress, I wear a suit every day. Not for the job that I want, but the job, not for the job that I have, but for the job that I want, eventually. So, being professional, learning how to communicate, just being a good person, being a good teammate, being accountable, all those things in sports have taught me how to, use those tools, in life as well. And at the end of the day, I think it's so valuable that, you take those tools and continue to refine them, because you never know. For example, the head coach for the Carolina Panthers is Dave Canales. No idea that 10 years ago in 2012 or 2013, the receivers coach would be the head coach now. So how I acted then and how I conducted myself put me in this position now. He remembered the type of person that I was and how I treated people and how that correlates to, okay, I think I can hire him and put him in position to influence others. So it was just amazing how that happens, and those values through the game of football has allowed me to be in the position that I am today.
Yeah, you never know when you might really be on an interview for your next gig,
Right.
so that's why I say it's always important to treat people, as you would at any given time, making sure that you're treating people with kindness and respect and all those things. So a very important point that people should definitely pay attention to, because you never know when you might need that reference and that kind of thing. Another thing I wanted to say, at this point, do you think you're able to better identify when someone might be dealing with a particular mental health issue? And at what point would you say, hey, it might be time to seek professional guidance and assistance in dealing with that issue?
Yeah, I mean, just to be honest, I think we all need someone we could talk to. A lot of times it could be professionally or not, but you have to have please. And I think, speaking things allows you to kind of like hear yourself. That allows you to be real with yourself, hear yourself and be real and honest and open. And I think one of the signs for me is just someone's presence. What kind of energy are they bringing? Are they really seizing the moment and thankful for the opportunity they've been giving to even walk this earth another day? Those are things that I think that are so important that, I can kind of tell people's moods when they're just skating through or getting by. Because we all weren't raised as angry babies. We all grew up, we're happy. We all laughed and smiled. And there are things that probably have put chinks in our armor that have turned us a certain way. So I look at everyone's spirit as there's something that has happened to make you this way. And one thing I always attest to is, when people are looking like they're not having a good day, or they come off to you wrong, or may say things or snap. One thing I always kind of try to keep in perspective is that's not who you are. There's something deeper. There's something you're dealing with, and I'm not on to the person, but I do know that there's a spirit within you. That I can't allow to affect mine. And then if I see and recognize what type of spirit you have, the biggest thing for me is not kill you with kindness. And I hear people say that all the time. I'm just gonna get a hug on you a little more. I might get on your nerves, but eventually that wall's gonna come down, and you're gonna figure out I'm not your enemy. You're gonna figure out we're probably the same. You're gonna figure out I've struggled the same way you struggled. And then maybe in turn, if not today, maybe tomorrow, not tomorrow, maybe next week, we can find some sort of common ground to where you can be open and vulnerable enough to communicate and say, hey, wow, okay, I didn't know you went through this or went through that. And being vulnerable, which I'm now doing, has put me in a position to break barriers and walls. with people, because there is a perception that comes with who I am or where I stand and the things that I've accomplished and have done. But you know, I'm a wall breaker, and I challenge myself to really just continue to press people and love on people more, even when I see signs of things, because I've been there, I've struggled, and I want people to understand and know that and feel comfortable, you know.
Yeah, that's great that you've done that. But I want to know if you think there are perhaps ways that coaches and teammates and sports organizations as a whole could do a lot more to better support the mental well-being of athletes.
Yeah, I think that we can't necessarily always make this about business. Unfortunately, that's exactly what it is. It's a business, it's a billion-dollar industry in the NFL. You know, at the end of the day, one thing I do know about as a coach, I can't just direct and tell players what to do and how to do it, and then and they respond automatically. I have to make sure that they understand that I care about them first. And when I do that, that's when I'm able to get the best out of them. I remember just being a student in elementary school. You know, I claimed to not like math. Why did I not like math? Because I didn't think my teacher invested in me. Why did I like it? Because I think that teacher cared about me. And I became a better English student than I did a math student. So this football world that we're in, I think the best coaches are ones that convey to their players that they care about them first. When you get that out the way, and not out the way as something to get the best football player, but you actually get influence a young man's life or a young woman, and then you have the opportunity for them to really feed into you as well. So I think that's where things need to be necessary because invaluable, because at the end of the day, you know, I can't just walk in the locker room and tell these guys what to do. I need to make sure that they understand I care about them first. So X's and O's, anybody can teach you how to run a route, throw a football, and out a block. Not a lot of people really express and show that they care about you as an individual. And I think that's valuable in the culture of, you know, healing people, helping people. And at the end of the day, I think that's what God wants us to do anyway.
Yeah, most definitely. I want to ask a quick question about media, you know, in terms of the role that they may play in shaping perceptions of mental health, especially with athletes in sports.
Yeah, I mean, the media plays a major part. You know, I remember as a freshman, you know, I threw a pass to a player and it was a bad pass. And I'm frustrated. And you can see me, you know, smack my hands together and get really down at myself. But the media portrayed it as I was an angry, aggressive player who was mad at my teammate. And that wasn't the case at all. In turn, that goes on national TV and ESPN, and I have to deal with what the perception is of BJ Daniels as a freshman who's 14, who's, you know, 18 years old. And now that's what the national news is. Bad attitude kid that plays quarterback, University of South Florida. The media plays a big part in the perception of a lot of athletes and players. And even today, I can only imagine, you know, Twitter wasn't around, Instagram wasn't around when I played, but a lot of these kids make mistakes and they become the next me, which is so frustrating for these young athletes, because not only are you nervous about your performance, you're now going to be the next joke of the country. And I think that's upsetting for a lot of young athletes. That's something they have to deal with. And I really want to make, you know, them kind of understand, you know, that's not defining who you are. And unfortunately, good players are considered good people and bad players are considered bad people. And that's terrible for our community to label as such. These young athletes, you know, who are doing what they love, they sacrifice so much to perform, you know, but the media plays a major part in the mental health struggles of a lot of athletes in today's game.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, for sure, there could be things done on that end and getting more information out on, you know, just some of the struggles like we're doing here today. I definitely think it's so important to talk about it. And that's number one. We're almost out of time. But before we go, I wanted to ask you, what are your goals and plans for your mental health advocacy work going forward and just some of your plans for the future?
Yeah, so I'm really excited. October 1st, Beyond the Red Zone is my book, and it comes out. It's already on Amazon. You can also purchase it as an ebook on bjsuper7.com or triggerhub.com. And I'm really looking forward to when the book comes out, having the opportunity to really just go around and give out free copies to actually, really, I say preach, but, to really give the opportunity to tell my story, to help others. I'm so thankful for the platform I'm on now. I've been in Carolina now for 2 months. So thankful to be here and to use this platform as well to reach so many different people. It was a moment where I didn't think I could reach up, but where I am now, I can reach up and I can reach down. I can give back, go to my community, and even the level that I'm on now is help these young men and women here. But just really wanting to, basically go on tour, I guess, after football season is done, the chance to really just go out and affect, really all the cities I played for. I went to Seattle, I lived in Tallahassee, I live in Tampa, Houston, New York, Atlanta Falcons, Houston Texans, New York Giants, now Carolina Panthers. Just having the opportunity to just go different places and communities that would recognize me and affect those places first, basically is my goal.
And that is so awesome. Congratulations, by the way. Didn't get to tell you that, but very proud of you. And congratulations on what you're doing. Just amazing. So I hope people will continue to support you. Want to make sure that they know if they'd like to book you for a speaking engagement, they can certainly visit BSAPRInc.com, and we'll like to see a lot more out there spreading your message, a very, very important message. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. We hope certainly that today's conversation has inspired you and provided valuable insights into the importance of mental well-being. Remember, mental health is just as important as physical health, and it is certainly okay to seek help and support when needed. Please join us next time as the Celestine show will continue to bring you conversations that matter. Until then, please stay curious and informed. If you missed any part of today's show or want to hear more, visit our YouTube channel under hashtags The Celestine Show and subscribe for updates. You can also catch all of our episodes on bbsradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Take care, and we'll see you next time on The Celestine Show.